Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a social psychologist who specializes in relationship building and the director of our own human relations consulting firm, Personal Presence, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, dancing with the stars, dancing with your beau, your lover. Today we're going to do something I've never actually done before, and we're going to look at the dance of relationships, or people dancing together, really dancing together. And there is a lot of dancing going on Long Island. I'm not sure if you realize that. And I don't know if you are a dancer, if you're one of those people who says, oh, I like to dance, but I don't know how, so I don't go on the dance floor. I think I'd like to take dance lessons, but I don't know where, I don't have time. Or anything along those lines, if you would like to have more fun and exercise in dancing, if you'd like to use dancing as a vehicle to meet new people or to reignite your relationship with your loved one, listen up, because I am so pleased to introduce to you Mark James, who is a dance instructor, coach, choreographer, and performer. Welcome, Mark.
Oh, glad to be here, Dr. Duffy.
Well, I want everyone to know that I attend your dances with my husband, and we follow you because we love you. We think you are the most spirited of all the dance instructors on Long Island, and there are many good ones. And I enjoy your generosity of teaching, and I think you're very exemplary in that you don't just advertise your own dances. You actually put out an entire dance calendar for Long Island so people can actually learn where they can go if they want to either take dance lessons or go to dances or both. So, Mark, tell us about how you first got involved in dancing, and how does one become a dance instructor to begin with?
Okay, how I first got involved with dancing. Okay, that was a while ago. I went to University of Wyoming. I was on a swimming scholarship, three-quarter ride, and it was my senior year, and I came back from a competition. I saw that Dance Fever TV show on TV.
Oh.
And it just kind of like perked my interest. Came back here on Long Island, bumped into one or two dance instructors, and started taking some lessons.
Hmm. So as a college, when you graduated college or around, you were a college student?
When I graduated college.
Uh-huh.
I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Education.
Uh-huh.
Taught a couple years down in Houston, Texas. And finally made it back to New York around, boy, I'm dating myself now, probably around 85 or 86, 1985, 90.
So you went from swimming to dancing. Well, there's certainly something very athletic in that.
Yes, it was one of those strange things that everything just ended up. It's one of my belief systems is the fact you never really know where you're going to end up.
Right.
You don't get too connected or hooked on what you think you really want.
Ah, good point, Mark.
One of my jokes with I teach over here at Suffolk Community College, that sometimes what I do is I tell people that my major, I make a joke out of it, but in college, I really wanted to make it to the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't really happen.
Yes.
So I had to find something else I enjoyed doing, so I got my education degree, and I got involved with the dancing.
So you actually, and you earn your living from your dancing, so
yeah.
you went from teaching to dance teaching.
Correct.
Teaching academically to dance teaching. And how long were you dancing before you decided to become a dance teacher, and how does one become a dance teacher?
Okay, back in around 1988, I'm trying to remember, 1990, I'm sorry, I got what they call excessed, which means too many teachers, not enough students. Over and I slipped. The same year I got my, let me remember the words. I got my tenure and I got my master's in education
Right, right.
So all of a sudden, I had no choice except trial by fire. I had to learn something else.
Huh.
So I started teaching a little, the dance. Started having moderate level of success performing and competing. And started building up my teaching hours.
My goodness. So you really just plunged right into it because that was what you liked doing, and that was a possible source of income. And now here we are, where we are. It's 15, 16 years later, and you are a success as a dancer and dance instructor. So, Mark, what have you noticed about dancing? Has it changed? Are certain dances more in vogue? Have certain dances come back in vogue? Touch dancing, couple dancing? What's your take on all of this?
It's like there are many different worlds out there, little niches. And I tell my students all the time that there's always something that you're going to really enjoy doing. It's just sometimes if you don't give it a chance, you really don't know it.
Uh-huh.
Like my dances are like generally 70% Latin dancing, which is like hustle, salsas, West Coast swing, cha-chas, merengues, and 30% waltz, foxtrot, and tangos.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What is typically called ballroom?
Yes.
Right. So 70% Latin and 30% ballroom. And it's interesting that you put West Coast swing into the Latin category.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Kaz, those Latin American roots.
Oh.
Where Lindy Hop comes from also.
Latin American roots? The Lindy Hop?
Yes, it does.
I had no idea. Wow. So the Lindy, as we know it, is now called the East Coast Swing, and then we have the West Coast Swing, which I absolutely love, and yet I cannot seem, for anyone who's interested in this kind of thing, you know, the East Coast Swing is a more circular dance, whereas the West Coast Swing is linear. It's as if you're on a track and you go up and down, back and forth. And every time my husband and I start to do the West Coast Swing, we wind up doing the East Coast Swing because we just start going around in circles. And it's amazing how
people... One of those dances with the West Coast Swing, Dr. Duffy, usually if it's your first dance, you're really comfortable with it.
Yes.
If you're used to the East Coast or the Lindy Hop, you're used to going and rotating, dancing it in one space only.
Right.
And then you only always go back to your old habits.
Right. Always go back to your old habits. Absolutely. But I love that West Coast Swing. And so what have you noticed? That has become more popular, the West Coast Swing, on the East Coast?
And it seems like West Coast is pretty popular right now. There's kind of like group that does it.
Yes.
That's all they do. You also have a group that just does the salsa.
Right.
They go out and just say, no way, all the salsa, like in the city a couple of times a year, they have these big salsa congresses where you will, and that's what they call a convention, where there'll be like 2,000 to 3,000 people there for the weekend just dancing salsa and watching salsa performances. They also have those type of places all across the East Coast, West Coast swing competitions and workshops where there's some workshops and some competitions. You also have, and I'm just running through, ballroom and Latin competitions.
Right.
Which are a little more stylized, and they have pretty much all the dance styles in them.
Well, I'm thinking of the average person, someone who might be listening and saying, competition, oh my God, forget about this. But who might want to start going out dancing and not really knowing how to do it, how to start, where to go, what to do?
The first thing I suggest, Dr. Duffy, all the time is, I call it most bang for your buck. I usually suggest that they take like an adult ed class.
Right.
Just initially. And the reason is, you're not going to stay there, but you're going to get a lot of step patterns.
Right.
For a very inexpensive, low expense, and that
yes.
way you can get a lot of stuff going. And then
right.
once you have like one class of that, you know, you're going to know what the merengue is, you're going to know what the box step is.
Right.
You're going to understand the basic rhythms, like what waltz is 1, 2, 3, Lindy Hop is 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right about now I'm losing most of the audience. I know.
Oh, no.
But
you're going into the count, yes.
You're going to learn the basic concepts so that you, when you get a personalized instructor, you then can figure out what you really want out of it.
Right, right.
And it's one of those things, there's really no pure way of judging an instructor unless you really look at what he or she has turned out.
Yes,
yes. Because there's really no licensing system in the system.
Okay. Oh, there is no licensing.
No, there really isn't. A pro is considered someone that has accepted money.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. There's no such thing as a certified dance instructor then.
Some of them are certifiable, but that's another conversation.
Oh.
But no, there are certificates and organizations that will test you out and give you credentials, but there's nothing official anywhere.
Oh.
So you can belong to a group that will certify you. There's no like professional. There's a couple of National Dance Councils of America is a professional group that does it, but there's really no control of it.
So really, it's very important to be an avid student who really says, "Well, is this person teaching me well? Is this person confusing me? Does this person know what they mean to say? And do they dance well themselves?" The student has to be really on the alert with that.
Yes, I usually tell my students that the job of a good instructor, coach, or teacher is to find a way to communicate to the student.
Yes.
The student's job is just to ask questions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What a lot of students think is that they're supposed to understand the teacher. The teacher, in my belief system, has to figure out a way to get the point across to his or her students.
Yes, and that, I agree. As a teacher myself, that definitely makes for a good teacher. It's my responsibility to communicate to my students as best I can. Okay, so you also are a coach and a choreographer and a performer. And what is the difference between an instructor, a coach, and a choreographer?
Oh, an instructor, tonight I taught a couple of hours. I was teaching a lady West Coast swing, a little foxtrot, a little hustle, a little salsa, getting her so that she's comfortable dancing.
Right.
Like she'd be comfortable dancing in a social situation, like at a dance or maybe at a club that's playing salsa throughout the evening.
Mm-hmm.
A coach would be brought in to figure out what's missing in the team. Dance team. Okay. So their goals are a little complete. Everyone has this, let me find the right combination of words. Now I'm a little nervous being on this radio.
Oh, surely, of course.
So I apologize for that. Me losing words.
Not at all.
Okay. A coach will find a way to get the point across. And what's missing in the team? What the team really needs to do.
It's like
you don't want to waste time on something that really is not going to help the team out and what the goals are. Some teams just want to, maybe they just want to perform.
Right.
Some people might want to get into the competition.
Yes.
Some people might want to get into a little more of just the American style. They really don't want the foxtrot.
Right.
Which is a good point. I always say, to look for in a good instructor, just popped in my head.
Yeah.
I always say, you want an instructor or a system that will teach you what you want.
Good point.
Some systems are built on the fact that they want you to learn 10 dances.
Mm-hmm.
And you signed a contract for 10 dances. And they're like, no, teach the person or couple what they want. When they get comfortable with it, they're going to want to try something new out anyway because they're going to realize, hey, they can do it.
Right.
And when someone wants to do something, they're more motivated. Hence, they would stay with it long enough to get to their breakthrough moments.
You know, Mark, as you're talking, I'm reminded that my husband and I went to a private dance instructor after we had taken a lot of adult ed and found it extremely useful. So I completely agree with you on starting out with an adult ed class. And we went to a private instructor. And she decided, she didn't ask us, she decided that we should start on the offbeat, the Latin beat rather than the American beat for the rumba or the Latin dances.
Right.
And she decided she was going to re-educate us to start on the offbeat. And she took all of our time and all of our money trying to get us to do that, and we never went back because that was not our interest. We wanted to just be comfortable learning a variety of dance steps and feeling that we were doing them well, competently, and being interested in variety and having new dance steps. So that was just not a good way of teaching, in my view.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I have a saying that is, when you are done dancing with the lady and she's left smiling, I tell the guys they did a good job.
Right.
They don't
right.
need to really figure anything more out than that. There's even a system out there right now, like there's three types of timing for salsa.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And there are actually even places where you walk in, and generally the dance instructors don't do this, but students seem to do it. The way that if you're not dancing the way on a piece of music that they break on one, break on two, or float at four, some people will actually get rude and say, oh, I don't want to dance with you, and walk off the floor.
Mm.
And I'm there like, I don't think they really get it.
Right.
Isn't it supposed to be enjoyable. This is supposed to enhance your life.
Boy, oh boy.
And if you want to do something specifically, let's say if you want to do competition, American Rhythm Competition, you have to break on the two beat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we're judging. We look across the floor. We want to make sure everyone's breaking on the two. Okay. If someone's breaking on, let's say, on the one, we look across the floor. Okay, they're sixth place already. Now we look at the next thing.
Mm.
Because that's what we have told them, the criteria of the judging.
Right.
But like I said, everyone has a different reason that they're into the dancing. And the reasons can flow and change throughout time, ebb and flow. Like my dance partner, my fiance Karen right now, it's like 10, 15 years ago, she never would have thought of doing overhead lifts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's doing them now.
Mm.
She never would have expected that to be where she enjoys doing.
Wow, but that means you lift her? You lift Karen?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Now, I always was interested in men lifting women the way they do. Does a man have to be very, very strong, or is there a certain way that a woman can range her body, or how does that work?
The combination of the two. When everything's right, when everything's right, Karen goes up like a feather.
Wow.
I'm not really expending any energy at all. It's kind of like when you're pushing a child on a swing, you push it right, all of a sudden the kid goes up six more feet.
Yes, yes.
Timing is everything. We breathe when we go down, we bend the knees, the word plié to bend in French.
Yes.
We bend the knees, we go up together, she goes up overhead, and then she holds the body in the right position, trusting where I'm at, and there's a high level of trust.
Right, oh.
Because once fear kicks in, and I use an acronym for fear, false experiences appearing real, kicks in, your body freaks out.
Right,
right. You go into, I call it the, you go into the 2F mode, you fight or flight.
Right, right.
And then once that kicks in, it's like you're not thinking clearly. You're into hyperdrive. You're going to want to protect it, save yourself, whatever the reason is.
Right, right. And I see so much of this on the dance floor. I think it has so much to do with relationship, and I'm glad you mentioned trust. And I just want people to know who we are and what we are. And this is Dr. Duffy Spencer, and we are Just Relationships, WHPC 90.3 FM. We help you communicate. We help you relate. If you're interested in finding out more about Mark James, James, and exactly where he teaches and how you can get in touch with him to be a student of his or go to one of his dances, just call us at WHPC 516-572-7438. That's 516-572-7438. So you mentioned an intriguing term, Mark, the dance team. And I think it's important for couples to really get that they are a team when they're on the dance floor and, of course, off the dance floor. Is there any tips that you can give people? What have you noticed goes wrong, say, when a married couple decides to take dance lessons to get out and have fun in their marriage, and then they wind up fighting on the dance floor?
I have a great spin on this. I think the universe has a very funny sense of humor. It puts two people together that are different as night and day.
Right.
You usually have one couple, and this is when they walk into the room, and the problem with most instructors is they try to teach them cookie-cutter style, like they're the same person.
Oh.
You usually have one couple that's a little more obsessive, compulsive, and retentive. They need everything a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And that's worked for them perfectly their whole life.
Yes.
And you have the other one, a little more freer. They're willing to take chances. They just want to go for it, but they don't like structure.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are coming into a room where the one that's a little too uptight wants to become freer. It's his goal. Hence, she stumbled into a hobby such as dancing. And the one that's a little too free wants a little more structure.
Oh.
So both of them have a different set of goals and different ways to be treated.
My goodness. Get the point
across, because in most relationships, you're there, Dr. Duffy?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I just got a feedback loop here.
Yes.
Okay, in most relationships, most of them are different as night and day.
Yes.
And it's like, but ethically and morally, they seem to agree on everything, but one is really tough and one is really nurturing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, and that's the other thing. I call it the gremlins or the chattering monkeys in the head.
Mm.
It's like those are the thoughts that constantly say that, why are you doing this? You should be home and not doing anything and playing it safe. And something about the dance, they want to do something more. They want to branch out.
Right.
So I think learning to dance has a lot to do more with personal growth, relationships, and finding out who you really are.
Wow.
And it's just something that people seem to find it also generally in the 30s.
Huh.
They start wanting to do something a little more.
Really? I see. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. My stepson is 35, and his father, my husband, is a very good dancer, and he's always tried to get him to dance, and he's not been interested. And then suddenly, he decides he wants to take dance lessons, and he's avidly interested in dancing now.
Oh, and gentlemen, Dr. Duffy can become the most addicted to the dance.
Oh.
Usually, again, a lot of my educational spin on how people learn from my years of experience.
Yes.
One of the things I've noticed is with guys, and you ask a guy to take a dance lesson, most guys have done athletic things their whole lives. You know, they can
right.
throw a baseball, they can play a pickup game, basketball. You know, they understand sports.
Right.
All of a sudden, they dance. They feel very klutzy.
Uh-huh.
I usually take my gentleman to the side and I explain to him real quickly. It takes usually around 5 hours to get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But because we have a different way of thinking as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me to move something, Dr. Duffy, I think this truck is like stuck in the snowdrift outside, and I'm going to have to push it, or something's stuck in the mud. I'm going to have to use my big muscles.
Okay, moving equals strength and pushing.
Correct.
Right, got it. Okay.
The large muscle groups.
Right.
Women are a little more adept at moving the smaller muscle groups.
Oh.
Okay. So all of a sudden, it usually takes around hour number 4 or 5 when the gentleman goes, oh, this is what he means. And they start getting those fine muscles, tuning muscle groups, moving a little smoother. And then usually around hour number 10 to 12 for the females, they understand they have to start using their bigger muscle groups. So again, we have a yin and a yang. The guys have to bring down their muscle group strength, and the woman has to start using more strength to create a balance again.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And
so men have to use less muscle strength and women use more muscle strength.
Correct.
That's absolutely fascinating. I have never been an athlete, but luckily for me, I've always loved to dance. And so that has saved me because I've been physical in that one way. Just that's it. Dancing and walking is really all I do physically.
Oh, you can actually find a dance or a place to go, like probably two to three places every night of the week just to go out dancing.
Really? And these are commercial places, you're saying?
Yes, they are. Be it West Coast Swing, be it like a salsa one night, be it like a hustle evening, one or two places, be it like a compilation of three or four things. You can actually dance. I know some people that actually go out 4 or 5 days a week.
And these are commercial places.
Yes, they are.
And unfortunately, we're not able to give those commercial places on the air.
Yeah, it was very good that I didn't say that.
I know. And I have the urge to let people know because, you know, in a certain age group, it seems like if you're midlife, as I am, there aren't a lot of places to go as opposed to the kids. There seems to be a lot of clubs. So if you will give me that list of names, I will make sure that WHPC has it. And then if people want to call in to find out, we can do it that way.
Okay,
so this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. We are Just Relationships, 90.3 FM. And if you're interested in learning more about Mark James and his dances and his dance lessons, and if you'd like to learn about where to go to any of these places to go dancing, just give us a call at 516-572-7438. That's 516-572-7438. Okay, so I feel better now when I think about I am much more athletic when I'm on the dance floor. As a matter of fact, my husband often kids me that I kind of cheated him or misled him because when he saw me dancing, we met at a dance, and he thought I was a great athlete. I said, wow, I'm not. I love to dance, but I'm not an athlete. So anyway.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay, hold on, Mark, 1 second, because the good news is you're coming back next week, and we will continue about looking at relationships and trust and how dancing can literally help you with your own personal growth. And you're coming back next week, Mark, so everybody tune in next week to hear Mark James, a professional dancer, on how dancing can enhance your relationships. And this is Dr. Duffy Spencer saying goodbye for now and wishing you great relationships.